was going to university and he was studying to be a biologist. And in biology, the course you have to take, you've got to take a whole bunch, you know, sometimes you course on plants and sometimes on water. And he was on this segment where he was studying birds. Orphanology is kind of the fancy name for it. And it came time for his unit exam. And the professor told him, you know what, there's only a few questions on the exam, but one question is going to be worth 50% of the grade on your exam, so you make sure you get to that question. So the guy shows up at the exam, he walks into the examination room, and he sees that all around the room there's all these stations. And what the deal was, you had a little clipboard, and you went through, and at each station you'd answer a question. You know, it'd have a body part of a bird. This is a wing, okay, it's a right wing. This is a feather. He goes along it, and at least these points aren't worth very much. And finally he gets to the last question of the exam, and he looks at this station, looks at this table, and all that's there on this table is just these two shriveled up bird legs. And the question is this, and it's worth 50% of the exam. Look at these bird legs and identify the order, the genus, the species, and type of the bird that it is. He was so mad. I mean, these dried up, shriveled up things they've been using on the exam for the last 20 years. He was so tickled. He didn't have one bird leg looks the same as another bird. They're kind of different sizes. He walks up to the professor's desk and he slams his exam on the table and he's about to storm out, and the professor says, "Hey, shoot. You forgot to put your name on the exam. Who are you?" He hikes up his pants and he says, "You tell me, buddy. You just tell me." You know, exams can bring out stressful times in our life. Now, we came through these times where we have to face tests. And what we're going to look at today is really, to tell you the truth, it is a bit of a stressful time in the life of Jesus. It's a time of testing. Sometimes it's called the time of tempting. Now, we've been going through this whole story of the Bible. Jason put us onto this whole deal, the story form way. We started in Genesis, and we've been cruising along, and we finally got to Jesus down at the top of the deal. We looked at the birth of Jesus, and last week we looked at the baptism of Jesus. And what we tried to underscore was how at the baptism of Jesus, it's all about Jesus' identity. It's all about who he is as a son of God. And we talk about our baptism and how that has to do with our identity, and how our identity, who we believe we are, really determines so much of life. I mean, if the enemy can get us to believe that we're useless and a waste of skin and a waste of space and no good at anybody and not in relation with anybody and you'll never make it, and all of these lies, then he can just trap us and they become shackles that we can barely burst out of. But if we can understand who we are, our identity is, and we can hear the word of God Almighty saying, "This is my son Alan, and I'm well pleased with him. This is my daughter Brianna, and I am so thrilled to have her as my daughter, and I love her, and I adore her, and I created her." And if we can give that identity and live that in the core of our being, how it makes all the difference in the world. Well, as we look at the testing of Jesus, we're going to see that this testing is all about Satan challenging the identity of Jesus. Just as Satan, and he's very real. I mean, don't kid yourself. We face an enemy who is powerful, and he is out to destroy us. And if he can get Jesus, or if he can get us, to question our identity, to begin to live and believe lies of who we are and what our value is, then man, he's got us in his grasp, right? And so let's take a look at this passage of scripture, and we'll see how it is the tempting or the testing of Jesus. And it's in Matthew chapter 4. Hey, if you've got Bibles with you, or if you've got a device with you on, you might want to turn to that. It's Matthew chapter 4. We're going to start with verse 1, but we're going to have it on the screen anyhow. And here it goes. So Jesus has just been baptized, right? And that's the whole deal. And then it says this. Then Jesus was led, or you could say, actually, it's a bit stronger word, Jesus was driven. I mean, this was no little, "Hey, let's hold my hand and let's go out here for a nice little picnic." But Jesus was led, or he's driven by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. Why? To be tempted or to be tested. There's different ways. It's a Greek word in there, and you can translate it either way. To be tested by the devil, or to be tested by Satan. Now, there's a few things you've got to understand here. And the first thing is that the Holy Spirit is very active in this whole deal. And the Holy Spirit, who's our friend and our brother and our counselor and our comforter and all of those kind of things, he's the one that led Jesus out into the wilderness. He's the one that took Jesus into the place where Satan is going to attack him. You see, what we need to understand about God is that he doesn't always call us. He doesn't always just make life easy. But sometimes the Holy Spirit, very often actually, the Holy Spirit will take us to places where we're tested, where we're tempted, where it's tough. And so it's the Holy Spirit that takes him out into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. Now, as we've said, Satan's whole idea here is to destroy the son's relationship with the father. His whole deal is to attack the identity of Jesus as somebody that God the Father is pleased with. But God, here's the trick. You've got to get this. This is a really important thing. The thing with the test, when you go through a rough time in life, or when Satan comes at you and you're tempted, Satan wants to use that to screw you up. He wants to mess up your life. He wants to wreck your relationship. He wants to destroy you and catch you and slay you, all this stuff. But God wants to use exactly that same thing to make you stronger, to draw you closer, to get you to know him and to know yourself even more. Because here's the deal. If you've got a tough test ahead of you, and you pass the test, you're that much stronger. You're that much more confident. You're that much more trusting in God who got you through the mess that you found yourself in. And so Satan wants to destroy Christ's identity, and the Father wants to prove Jesus' identity. See what's going on there? Same thing when Satan comes to wreck you. He wants to destroy you, but God said, yeah, tell you what. I'm going to use that to draw him closer. I'm going to use that to make her strong. So that's kind of the deal that's going on there. So testing times or temptations can turn bad. But God wants to use them for good. Okay? So that's the first thing we've got to learn from this whole thing, is that Satan wants to, it's all about tempting and testing. Satan wants to use it to destroy us. God says, not a chance, I'm going to use that to draw them closer. Okay? Second thing that we need to understand before we go any further. We've been telling the whole story, right? And we started off, you know, Adam and Eve, that whole deal, and then we went into Israel, remember, and the Hebrews, and they were slaves in Egypt, and how God led them out in this whole deal. And so what we need to understand is that what Jesus is going to do right here is he's going to relive the story of Israel. Because if you remember that Israel was called God's son. In Exodus chapter 4, God said to Moses, hey, Moses, go and tell Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says, Israel is my son, my firstborn, you let them go. And eventually, you remember the whole deal, the death of firstborn, and the plan, and we did all that whole story, and then they went through the wilderness, the Red Sea, and that was kind of like their baptism, we went through the whole thing. And then, once they went through their baptism, then they went into the wilderness where they were tested. Where they were tempted. And Moses reminds us of this. In the Old Testament book called Deuteronomy, which means the second time I'm going to tell you the law. That's what that word really means. Deuto 2. And then Deuteronomy, know us the law. Remember how God, the Lord your God, led you all the way into the wilderness for these 14, no, Jesus in the wilderness 40 days. You see how this kind of matches up here, okay? For 40 years, why? To humble you and do what? And to test you in order to know what is in your heart. Whether or not you keep his commands, he humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors have known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone. Oh, that's going to sound familiar to this. But on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord, your clothes did not wear out, your feet did not swell during those 40 years. Know then, in your heart, that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. So what we need to understand is that Israel went into the wilderness and they screwed it up, right? They failed. They messed up. They rebelled against God. They complained against God. Jesus is driven by God into the wilderness. But he's going to pass the test. He's going to stay pure. He's going to stay close to God. He's going to stay closer to the Father. So here's the thing. Israel and all people flunk the test. We all screw up. But Jesus did. Okay, you remember that. Third thing, if you're taking notes, you've got three things, right? Number one is that testing and tempting, Satan wants to destroy, God wants you to tempt. Number two, Jesus is reliving the story of Israel, and he's reliving your life and my life when we go through these times of testing. Okay? Number three, what God is testing for and what Satan is trying to prove is what kind of a son will Jesus be? What kind of a daughter will you be? This is the big test. This is the temptation. Okay, so you come and you're going to say that you're going to be a child of God. What kind of a daughter are you going to be? What kind of a son are you going to be? Jesus, what kind of a son are you? How are you going to live out this identity as a beloved son or a precious daughter of God? How are you going to work that out? Okay, so this is, that's the kind of the framework of everything that's going on. So kind of keep those three things in mind. And let's take a look at how this testing or this tempting went. So let's look at this. So the third thing is going to know, what kind of son will Jesus be? What kind of child of God will you be? All right, here we go. First test. Testing for self-serving power. Okay? The tempter, that's Satan, right? He's going to test. The tempter came to Jesus and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus answered, it's written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. If you are the Son of God. You know what? Actually, the better translation is this. Hey, Jesus, since you're the Son of God, since you're the Son of God, why don't you use all that power to turn these stones into bread? Why don't you exercise your power to meet your need for food? You see, the temptation that the enemy wants to use is, hey, you've been given some special privileges by God. You're the Son of God. And since you're the Son of God, why don't you use those privileges? Why don't you use those abilities for your own good? Why don't you just use it for your own advantage? It's so easy for us to fall into that temptation. God gives all of us different things. Some skills, some abilities, some positions, all kinds of different things. Social clout, a personality that everybody likes, money, a position that has influence, whatever it is. And what Satan wants to do is, hey, you've received these gifts from God, how about you use it for yourself? How about you take all these good things that God gives you, and you just place yourself at the center of that, and use everything for you. Why not? God gave it to you. Why don't you use it? But Jesus comes back with the answer from Deuteronomy chapter 8. You shall not live by bread alone. What does that even mean? You don't have fish, you don't have protein. You know, there's a couple of guys, old guys in the church, used to come to the church. They both passed away now, Bill Barmer and Larry Gosling. Great guys, and we used to come to Friday morning prayers all the time, and then we'd always go for breakfast. And three or four times a year, you could count on it, these two old guys would get in a big argument. And and they're both kind of firm in their convictions. And so neither one of them backed down. And so Bill Barber, who was in forestry and wildlife and stuff all his life, would say, hey, if you ever get stranded in the bush, you can live off a fish, you know, all you need is a fish. And Larry Gosling would say, no, that is from Quebec. No, that is not true. You cannot live only on fish because you need this or that. And Bill Barber, yes, you can live on your fish, but you got to eat the head and the brains and the eyes as well. And this is the restaurant, you know, and all you know is talking. I have no idea why I told that story. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah, you can't live on bread alone. Anyway, so that was kind of funny. So what does that mean? You got to eat fish? No. Here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, listen. You can't just power up to get what you need. If you're a son of God, if you're a daughter of the King, you got to trust. And it's so tempting for some of us to power up when things aren't going our way. Okay? Alright? That's it. And you just watch this. Rah! It's so easy for us to do that, to use whatever it is we've got. Power, personality, money, position, whatever the deal is, it's so easy for us to power up, to meet our own needs. And Jesus is saying, no. You don't power up. A son, a daughter of God trusts. Doesn't mean you don't do what God is going to do. You're not saying that. But all of a sudden, it's to throw away trust and to say, okay, I'm going to ram this through. I'm going to make this happen as I can. And Jesus said, no. That's how you do. When the chips are down for you, when the chips are down for me, what do I do? Do I power up or do I trust? Well, Jesus answered him by giving him the word of God, which is kind of interesting, because the next thing that Satan does, of course, is jump right on that. And he says, okay, you want to use the word of God? I'll tell you what, let's give you this second trust. It's a trust for a lack, test for lack of trust. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you're the Son of God, he says, throw you down, for it's written. You want to use the Bible, Jesus? You want to hand me with the Bible? Tell you what, I'm going to use the Bible too. I'm going to hand you back. It's written right there in the Bible. He will command his angels concerning you that they will not, that they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You won't even stub your toe, Jesus. You can just throw yourself off here. And Jesus said, it's also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. This is the test for how much you trust. You see, it's kind of funny, but you've got to follow this through. What Satan is saying, it sounds like, is, hey, Jesus, if you really trust God, if you really trust your Father, you'll throw yourself up this mountain, and he'll save you. Do you believe him? Do you trust him to do that? Now, it sounds at first like Jesus, if he's going to throw himself off the temple, that he's really trusting God, doesn't it? I mean, there you are on this big peak, you know, you're whatever many hundreds of meters up. Okay, God said he's not going to, I'm going to just, that's big trust of God, because God said I'm not even going to stub my toe. But you've got to follow this thing through here. And here's how it goes. Imagine one of the relationships that you're in, okay? A friendship, a good close friend, a marriage, you get married, a dating relationship, whatever the deal is. Some intimate relationship that you've got, okay? And I want you to imagine that the person that you're in this friendship with or this marriage with, they're constantly giving you these little tests to see whether or not you're trustworthy. You see this go across the internet every once in a while. I saw it there a couple of months ago. Some lady hired some actress who was really in good shape to pretend that she was a personal trainer. And, you know, she sent her fiancé into this gym to work out and get ready for the wedding or whatever. I don't know, get his exercise or whatever he was doing. And so she hired this actress to come on to the guy to see if he'd take the bait, to see whether or not he can be trusted. Any of you see that? It actually tells you that happens quite often. Now, I want you to think about this. If you're in a relationship with somebody and that person's constantly doing things to test you to see whether or not you're trustworthy, how well is that relationship going to go? Right? And so this is this whole deal, what Satan's doing. It sounds like it's faith. It sounds like, hey, Jesus, why don't you just show how trustworthy you are? But Jesus is like, no. I don't test God. I don't put these little tests out there to see if my Father is trustworthy. I'm not going to do that. Nobody should do that. Don't put the Lord your God to the test. It's almost always a disaster when that happens. I do this sometimes. You know, sometimes it kind of feels like I'm trying to step out in faith on something. But sometimes it's not that I'm trying to step out in faith. Sometimes I'm kind of testing God. You want to know a good test? You want to know how you can figure out that you are kind of growing and stepping out in faith or whatever? You're testing God. Here's how. If God doesn't come through to you before you in the way that you think that he should, and in the time that you think he should, chances are you're testing God. How mad am I when God does not do what I think that he should? Well, what's going on then? What's going on in my heart? If I'm just really ticked off, you know, then I'm not. I don't know that I'm growing in faith. I think maybe ego testing. I'm going to get ticked off and say, see, I tried it, it didn't work. It's a day. And Jesus says, listen, you don't do that. Don't put the Lord your God to the test. Third test. Testing for inexpensive compromise. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in all of their splendor. All of this I'll give to you, he said, if you'll just bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it's written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Now, at first, this might not seem much like a test of the nature of the Son of God, of the identity of Jesus as God's Son. But you see, what we've got to understand, do you remember last week we looked at Psalm 2? Remember that? And we said, I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my son. Today I've become your father. Ask me, and I'll make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. Right? That was his identity, right? We talked about that whole deal about Psalm chapter 2, about how part of the identity of Jesus as the Son of God is that he's going to rule over all of the nations. So what's the test? The test is this. Hey, Jesus, you know you've got the nations coming to you. I promise it to you. You and I both know you're the Son of God, and it says in this word, you know, he's quoting that, hey, you know what? I'm going to give you all these nations. And you've got it coming, Jesus. It's a promise. You've got it coming. But man, this way that you're heading out, it's going to be miserable. I mean, you're going to be rejected by the people that you love. You're going to be beaten up. You're going to be crucified. You're going to be made fun of. You're going to be spat upon. I mean, that is a really tough time. And to top it all off, you're going to be hanging there and you're going to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? You are going to feel like your father abandoned you. Why don't we cut to the chase? Why don't we just make it a little bit easier? You've got to come to you anyhow. It's coming to you. You're only collecting what God has far approached. Why don't we skip all this tough stuff and just kind of take a bit of a shortcut? Just say, you know, give me a nod. Give me my honor that's due to me, says Satan. You know, pay a little bit of a price and you can have that stuff scot-free. You're going to get it anyway, but you can have it scot-free because I won't put you through all that junk. That I'm going to use the force of the darkness and the principality and the powers to bring about in your life. And Jesus' answer is, no. There's no compromise and there's no assurance. You know, as the children of God, we've got amazing promises and benefits lying before us. And some we have now, and some are going to come in the future. And life is filled with opportunities and compromise. Just need to do business with myself. Doing your taxes? Just forget about that little extra cash. Who's going to know? Hey, you're kind of tired. You go to the back of the woodshed, back in the warehouse, knock off for half an hour and come to time. It's okay. Now you're in a relationship. You can push those boundaries a little bit. It's all right. You're going to get married anyhow. Anyhow, why don't you just take the shortcut? just kind of give a little nod to me and nobody will even know except for you and me, and it'll be okay. And when we do that, we deny who we are as children of God, and we worship the enemy. Well, the bad news is, sooner or later, one of these tests, all of these tests, big ways, small ways, we fail. But here is the very good news. It is our great hope. Jesus passed every one. Never messed up once. And never used his power for his own glory. But he used his power for your good. And Jesus never put God to the test, but always showed the way of complete trust. And Jesus never took a shortcut, but took the hard road of the cross. You know why? Because he knew what he thought. That's who he said, Alan, Jason, Lance, Melissa, why don't you take my perfection, my passing the test upon yourself, and I'll take your screw-ups on myself. And I'll take on the identity of one who rebelled against God so that you can have the identity of one who is the perfect daughter, the perfect son to the King of the universe. And when the enemy comes and says, you screwed up, you flunked, you can't cut it, you're not worth it, you're just a loser, you're chained up, you're forgotten, you don't count for anything, God hates you, you're a failure, you stand up and you say, oh no, oh no, I am a daughter of the King of the universe. My name is Alan, and I am the beloved son of the King of Kings, and he loves me. He is well pleased with me. And you know what's even better news? When we do that, when we take Jesus passing the test for ourselves, and we say, I trust Jesus, because I know I'm going to mess up. And Jesus said, I take Alan's sin, and I'm going to pay the penalty of death and separation from God. You know what he does? He gives us the same Holy Spirit who empowered him to pass the test. And he says, Lance, you don't have to flunk anymore. I'm going to come and I'm going to live inside you. And the enemy's going to come and Jesus, and he's going to throw tests at you. And they're going to be tests. And they're going to be to try and rescue you. And it's filled with a relationship that the Holy Spirit is going to give you the strength and the power to pass the test. The more you pass the test, the more you understand how God is faithful and how he gives us the power of his very being living inside us, and how he changes our very identity into being the child of God so that we can do like we did last week and say, I am a new creation. Behold, all things are new. The old has passed away, and I am a new creation in Jesus Christ. That is my identity. And I'm sealed and empowered and led by the Spirit. Spirit of God and forgiven by the blood of Christ. And I am a child of God, and nobody can take that away, and nothing can devalue me, because that is who I am.
Amen.
And it can be who you are. You just got to nod to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.